Here are some interesting alternatives for Dafyomi. The first recording is of today's Daf from the 13th cycle, which was done within about a half an hour. And that's followed by a very fast review, about 5 minutes, allowing you to review the entire Daf quickly. Followed by the same Daf from either the previous cycle's Dafyomi, or perhaps even from 2 cycles ago, Dafyomi. Different ambiance, usually done in greater detail. You can choose one or the other as your first Daf, the other one as a review Daf. But whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf from the Zechat Shabbat brought to you by Ben Chamot Yerushalayim is Daf Kuf Beit. We're holding a daily commission right on top of the Daf. Somebody throws something on Shabbat, Bishogeg, remembers that it's Shabbat after it leaves his hand and is now on an arc to landing. But before it lands, and this is what we think the Mishnah means, we're going to see it's not what it means, but before it lands, someone jumps and grabs it in his hand. Or a doggy bites it. Or it lands in a fire and gets burned up. In all of these cases, he would be put to it. Apparently, he's put to it because of the fact that it never landed properly. Zarak Masot Chabura. Suppose he threw a rock at someone on Shabbat. Not to be Yotzi, but to hit someone good and get him bleeding. Bein ba'adam, bein ba'ema, exactly. Shabbos! Yeah, we'll go and be Mechal of Shabbos just to prove that it's Shabbos today. And then he remembers, Ad shalona seta chabura. He remembers that it's Shabbos before it bloodies the guy's head. So then he was be patur. Because at the time that it bloodied the guy's head, he was no longer a shogeg. The rule is, anybody that's going to be chayav a chatat is only chayav if he's a shogeg at the beginning and at the end. But if you were a shogeg at the beginning, and perhaps tchilatan, sofan shkaga, but if tchilatan shkaga, but sofan was mazed, you remembered before the act was completed, or vice versa, tchilatan zadon, and then sofan shkaga, then you would be putter unless the entire thing, Tilatan v'sofan, was a shigaga. Okay? A lot of problems, because the mashma'ut is, if we were reading the Mishnah in that way, that it's all one thing, so then the very fact that you remembered it saying in the beginning of the Mishnah would not be a reason for you to be putter. It's only because the dog ate it up before it landed. And it's like it turned to be a hanacha. Only therefore are you potter. But had it been nacha, normally, and the dog, you didn't get it, you would be chayav. But it says the case is you remember that it was Shabbat. And the whole closing of the Mishnah is, which indicates that in this case, you would be potter even if the dog, you hadn't eaten it up, because you were not a shogeg from beginning to end. Omer of Kahana, look, it's got to be like this. If you can't do anything about it anyway, and you already threw it, your act was completed, then it doesn't matter whether you remembered it was Shabbat, you didn't remember it was Shabbat, it's over. The fact that it may take time because it's a process, that doesn't change just because you remembered before the process was completed, because your acts had been completed. The Sefer that says you have to be Tchilatan v'sofan shkaga, that's talking about, for instance, a lakta and a matna. A lakta and a matna over there, you're talking about, what that is a semicircular piece of wood that you put on the back of your chamor. And then it ties on either side, it ties to bottles of big jugs of wine. Anybody who remembers how we used to get the fuel here in the old city on the chamor? So there's this little thing that holds those packages in place. And it's tied with a rope around it. So here, you hold the rope in your hand and you throw it. So in that case, you could have stopped it by pulling back on the rope. That's what the Seif is talking about, where there was something to do about it. The Reisha is talking about there wasn't something to do about it. And that's precisely the point, that the Reisha wants to tell you, look, even though you remembered in the middle, if the doggy didn't eat it up, then in fact you would be chayim. You remembered in the middle. So therefore we come to be mechalek between the case where you could have stopped it, in the Sefer, where there you have to be mitzilavat, so you have to be a shogeg, and in the Reisha, where the act was already done, and there it doesn't matter whether at the time that the result of the act was completed, whether you remembered or not. So I was like, no, that's not possible. Because, the locked room out, it's all very nice to say you could pull it back if you wanted to. That's true. The thing is that if you didn't pull it back, there would be no chiyuv of otzah, because remember that otzah is only when an object is completely and totally freed into the other rishus. If part of an object is back in the rishus that it was thrown from, then it wouldn't be chiyuv of otzah. It's nothing to do with your remembering. It's not an act of otzah. So it's called ogdo biyado. So if he was anyway holding it, then you wouldn't be chiyuv. Oh. Okay, so you know what? So maybe the safest talking about the case where he didn't do otzah. Maybe it means, or he's holding the case of the lakto matna, where he's holding it in his hand, and he threw it at somebody, was falling asleep in Daf Yomi, forgetting it was Shabbos, and was indoors, the whole thing was indoors. And right before it hits that poor guy in the head, he remembers, oh my God, it's Shabbos. But he can't resist. And he lets it go anyway. So over there, that's the case where Tzig has to be Tfilas of the Seifan, and therefore he would be Potter. Because since the last part wasn't done by Shogeg, it was done by Mazid. Mazid, can you imagine the evil of this person who throws something at a guy that falls asleep in Daf Yomi for the 496,000th time on Shabbos? And so the thing is that he would be Potter. And what does that say to you, Richie? About the moral structure. So in that case, there he was mechaven lasok chabura, and since he could have stopped it, so that's b'neinu chinami, the case of the hotzah. You're right. Over there, it wouldn't matter. And that's the point of the Mishnah. When it comes to hotzah, over there, even if you remembered, unless the doggy ate it up before it did a regular anacha, you would have put it. Says, that can't be the case, because for heaven's sakes, the Mishnah says zehaklal, right? Zehaklal means let us expand the above case. What was the above case? Where you threw something at a guy to bust his head, and you remembered before it landed, and then you say zehaklal, obviously implying other cases, such as the opening of the Mishnah, which was otzah. So it can't be referring back to the same case. It's zehaklal on your same case. So if that's the case, as the Gemara, the lakto matna, Hanami Tanina, the Mishnah mentioned that case beferish, and it cannot be, therefore, the reference. And here's the rule. What is the rule? You just said the case. Hazorek lasot chabura, bein ba'adam, bein beima, bivema, b'nizkar shalon haset chabura patur. So forget it. That cannot be the explanation of the Mishnah. Says Rav, okay, you know what? The additional case is, you're right, it can't be talking about a lakto matna for Zrika, because then obviously it would be ogdo biyado. So it wouldn't even be a hotzah. It can't be talking about throwing a stone, because then your act was completed, and there's nothing you can do about it anyway, and therefore it wouldn't matter if you remembered in the middle or you didn't remember in the middle. You know what it's talking about? It's adding the case of a guy who is being ma'avir. He's walking from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabi. That's the case. And he remembers in the middle. Okay, so over there he could stop. He doesn't stop. So that, he'd be potter, because there was something that he could have done about it, that he didn't do about it, and because of that, it's not chilato, v'sofo, v'shogei.
Isn't that one step, though, from one issue to the other?
No, this is Akira and Hanocha. He does the Akira, the Shogei, and Hanocha, amazing. Says the Gemara, but the Mishnah's case was Hazorek. It says Zehaklal. Zehaklal refers back to the cases of the Mishnah. And it's going on, the previous case was the case of Zorek. Okay? So then you're adding cases of Zerika Lagabe Hotzah. So don't tell me that the case over here was the case of Zerika. That can't be the case. Okay. So that is the idea of any Zorek, Zaklal, even if you were Zorek, what you're saying is that a Zorek needs to be Mitchila Vatsof. And you don't have to be able to stop it in the middle. You're right. Says Rav, I give up. Okay, then this whole idea was wrong from the beginning. We're looking for ways in which you could have stopped something in the middle. That was a wrong understanding of needing to be a shogeg mitchilo vatsof. The needing to be shogeg mitchilo vatsof is not in terms of your act. It's in terms of your awareness only. And that's because it says in the Torah, la'asota ba'asota, so that your state of yediyah, the yada, has to be the same mitchilo vatsof. If when the act is achieved, even if it was already done, you were not in the same state as when it had been done. So at the time that you threw it, you released it from your hand, you were a shogeg. Before it lands, you're just like, oh my God, it's Shabbos. Then you're not chayav hachatas, if you remembered before it landed. So then how do we explain the opening in the Mishnah that says, if you remembered and the dog ate it? What do you mean, if you remembered and the dog ate it? Even if you didn't remember and the dog ate it. Or even if you remembered and the dog didn't eat it. Says Rafa, that's right, that's exactly what it's saying. It's two different cases. Well, these things are the same case. It's two different cases. I'm giving you a list of cases where a change in the status between the beginning of the act and the achievement of the act will pop to you. Case A. Here is our first example. That is where you remembered. Case B. You didn't remember, but the doggy ate it. And so on. So we have those cases. It fell into a fire. Another guy takes it. So you have different cases. I meant to be one case where you remembered and another guy took it, where you remembered and the doggy ate it. So Tarte Katani, there's two different issues here. Azorek Viniz Karmiakash Yatsubiyoto. Exhibit A. Exhibit B, Inami. You didn't remember, but Kolta Acher. Exhibit C, Kolta Kelef. Exhibit D, Nisrafa. In all of the above cases, you would be Potter. So it's a completely different way of reading the Mishnah. Ravashi says, it's more than that. It's more than that. Actually, the Mishnah is hinting to a little piece of information that's missing. And in fact, here's how to read the Mishnah. Kasuri Mechanis Vavikta. I agree with you in principle, okay? So, Hazorek v'nizkar mi'akashi yatzta miyado. You did remember, but kolta acher, kolta kelev, nisrafa, only there you would be put. But if it was nacha, you would be chayev. Oh, what do you mean? So you're not agreeing with me in principle. No, I am. Let me finish. There's a piece missing. And that was the reason that the Mishnah was so confusing, that it begins by indicating that nizkar is not enough to potter you. You would need for the doggy to eat it up. Are you going to share that, Abba? I mean, it's very attractive. Although, I guess if it's pretty good, it couldn't be that good. So, insert the following. The Mishnah is trying to get you to realize that there's a contradiction here. And that in the Reisha, indeed, it is saying that only if the doggy ate it up would you be potter. And the Seif is saying, no, the rule is, if you remembered from the beginning, then it would be potter. You have to be sure from beginning to end. Okay, put in these words. When do we say that you would be chayev if the doggy hadn't eaten it up, even though you remembered where you remembered, but then once again, you were shachach. So then the fact that you remembered in the middle is irrelevant. If, however, you remembered, you would be potter even if the doggy hadn't eaten it up. Because the rule is, and now kicks in the Seifa, back to the Seifa, because the rule is that kol chayavecha ta'ot einan chayavin ad shetei tfilatan v'sofan b'shkaga. So, Rabba, I mean, I'm agreeing with you in principle, but what you're saying is that the Mishnah is not trying to confuse us. And the fact is, the Mishnah does look very confusing. Now, you have to list the first cases as a list, and then even though it didn't appear to be a list, it appeared to be a condition, I'm saying it does mean it's a condition. But it's telling you that this can be seen either as a condition or as a list, and it's telling you a big finish. That despite the fact that there was a yediyah in the middle, as long as the beginning of the end was done b'shkaga, that's all that counts. Okay, then you say, Zeh klal kol chayavecha ta'ot have to be from beginning till the end, or at least beginning and end have to be b'shkaga. Now, in the Beit HaMidrash, they were discussing a case where you have a guy carrying something or throwing something. We're going to see which the case was. The first two amot is b'shoget. The second two amot, this is in Rishut HaRabim, is b'mezid. The last two amot, he forgot again, and it's b'shoget. Now, this sounds like, remember we had a machlokas before, between the Rabban and Rabban Gamliel, about yesh yediyah l'chatzi shiur. We know that if you ate, let's say, an entire shiur of chalev, kezayit, then you remembered, oh my God, I ate a kezayit of chalev. Then you ate another kezayit. That yediyah in between makes those two eggs completely separate. The question is, does the yediyah of a chatzi shiur that's not machayev yochantas make the two chatzi shiurs separate? So if I ate, let's say, a chatzi kezayit of chalev, remembers, oh my God, that was chalev, and then go right ahead and eat another chatzi shiur of chalev, again, not remembering that this is chalev, does a yediyah in the middle of a chatzi shiur have any impact on it? Now, this sounds like exactly that case. Because you have the first two amot, you forgot it was Shabbos, then you remembered it Shabbos. Walk another two amot, then you forget that it's Shabbos. Walk another two amot. So can you add the first two amot with the last two amot, which were both a shear of Shigoga, or not? Says the Gemara, it is not related. And Rabba says you're potter, and Rabba says you're chayav. Rabba says you're potter. Because even according to Rav Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel's opinion before, remember, was a guy writes the word shin. And he remembers after he writes the shin. Oh my God, it's Shabbos. Then he forgets, and then he writes the mem. Can he be mitzarev the shin and the mem to one ketiva where the minimum shear is two otiyot? Or not? Says Rabbi Gamliel, he can, because ein yedi lechatzi shear, but that's not the case over here. Because over here, the chikagama shiura over there, in that case, at the point that you finish the act of writing, you wrote this, the second letter. You were bishogeg when you wrote the second letter. Over here, when you finished the next two amot, what were you? You were amazed. Well, how can be mitzarif a shir of amazed to the first two amot, which was a shogeg? You can't. So aval hakha. Over there, kikagam shir b'shogeg kagam. You completed the entire shir b'shogeg. But over here, you completed a shir of arba amot b'shut rabim when you were in a state of mazed. Then even Rav Gamliel would be mazed that you cannot be mitzarev. Lo? Wait a minute. And what was the case? I mean, are we talking about a case where you threw it? I mean, if you threw it, so then nothing happens until the end. I mean, so then it's a shogeg. No, he's talking about a case where you were walking. So at that point, at each time that you stop, okay, that could be the end of the Hotzor right now. So then you were mitzarev, the shiur, the first two with the second two. How can I say now, oh, so now I forgot, now I'll be mitzarev the last two with the first two? That doesn't make any sense. See, even Rabbi Gamliel would be made about that case. Rabbah says, no, in this age, you're chayiv even according to the Rabbanan. Because even the Rabbanan who hold that a yediyah v'chatzi shiur is already enough to be mechalek, and you would not be able to be mitzarif the shin with the mem, because you remembered in the middle, that's dafke in the case where you were writing, because you could have stopped writing. So atamud biyado. So since you could have stopped writing, obviously, each act of writing is a new act. It's no different than eating a kezayat of chalev, or another kezayat of chalev, if you hold yesh yediyah v'chatzi shiur. So then you completed that act, now you're doing another act. But over here, you cannot stop. And it's ein biyado. In that case, even the Rabbanan made it. What difference does it make that you found out? As long as the entire act was completed, bishkaga. Now, so what's his case? If we're talking about that he was walking with it, so that he could stop. No, obviously, he stayed his biyado. No, he's talking about bizarre. So in other words, they weren't arguing. Rav and Rava were pointing out the different implications of Zorek versus Mavir, according to both the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel. Omar Rabbi, Zorak v'nacha b'fikelev v'fikivshan, if you threw something and it landed in the doggy's mouth or it landed right inside of a fire, you'd still be chayiv. What? The Mishnah says not like that. The Mishnah just say, kalta acher o kalta kelev onisr v'apotr? Well, of course it does. That's the whole point I'm making. The case in the Mishnah is where your kavana was to throw it stomp, and it lands in a fire. So over there, it's not considered to be anacha. That's not a mokum, that's choshev for anacha. That's called anacha, to land and get burned up. Land in a kelev, that's anacha, a mokum, arba, arba. So that wasn't your kavana, so there was no anacha. But in a case where you are mechaving, that should be where you want it to go. Even though you'll say, but a p kelev is not arba, arba, but as we said earlier in the Masechet, that is considered to be a mokum choshev, made so by your kavana to have it land there. Omra baby barabaye, afanana mitanina. Take a look at this case. Remember we discussed how a person could eat one kezayit and be chayav four separate chataot and an asham, just for eating that one pepper and a pritik, no, sorry, just for eating one thing. Now, what would that be? It would be a tummy who was eating the chalev of a korban, and it was also noser. My gosh. And it was also Yom Kippur. Oh my God. So the guy is chayev for achilas chalev, he's chayev for tamei shachalas hakedesh, he's chayev for achilas noisim, and he's chayev for achila on Yom Kippur. And since it was hekdesh, he's chayev on asham meilais because he stole from hekdesh. Not bad, says Rabbi Meir. And if it's Shabbos and he swallows it while he's walking, so he'd be chayev also for chilul Shabbos. So afi ma'itah Shabbat v'tziyah v'pivi be chayev. What does that have to do with it? I mean, that has nothing to do with the Akhila. I mean, what are you telling me? And if at the same time, you know, he was flying a plane, well, I mean, what is this? It's not Nugea. So that's Enom and Hashem. That's not Akhila. We're looking at Akhila. Anyway, but I ask you, how would he be Chayav on Shabbos if he swallowed something? And if the doggy swallowed something, that's considered to be a Mokamar al-Arba al-Arba. He's got to not be on Pritikin if he'd be Arba al-Arba. Reggie. It must be, therefore, that your intent to swallow it makes it, that becomes the anocha. So here too, if your intent is to feed the doggy, then that becomes the mokum of anocha. Amai, let's take a look. In derech hotza, abakach elakivan de kamechavein. Since that's his intent, makshafto, his very intent, is mashvilei mokum. Okanami, kivan de kamechavein, makshafto, mashvilei mokum, turns it into a mokum of al arba, and therefore he would be chayev. So basically, how do we end up with our Mishnah? We understand that the Mishnah is talking either about a list in the opening of four cases, either you remember, or there was a problem with the hanukkah physically. So either there was a conceptual problem with the hanukkah, you knew it was Shabbos, or there's a physical problem with the hanukkah, lands in a dog, in a fire, somebody else is in, where it wasn't meant to land. Or it's Chesurim Echatzra, that there's three cases, all that are in the context of remembering, but by the time that it was completed, you also had once again forgotten. That's why we require the other three. Those are the two approaches. But in any event, the Mishnah is clearly telling us there was no way for us to support the alternative approach, which is that if you can't do anything about it, your state of mind is irrelevant. It's clear from the Mishnah, your state of mind is relevant. Whether you can do something about it or not, your knowledge is important in terms of the Chiyuv Chatas, and the only other question that we have is whether, if the beginning and the end were both in a state of forgetting, does it matter whether you remembered in the middle? And we've also been able to indicate, at least according to one approach in the Mishnah, that remembering in the middle is irrelevant. The act consists of that moment at the beginning and its completion at the end. Hadron alach
hazorei.
And now, with great excitement, we actually discuss something other than Hotzah in this Masechet Shabbat. And getting back to our Mishnah that lists the various milachot, some of which the shiurim were included in the Mishnah properly. Proper. Here we go on to discuss habonet. So we were talking about building. What would be the shear of bonet? Kama yivne v'yechayat. Well, actually, habonet kol shu, the slightest bit of building. And later we're going to work with the slightest bit of building. But the slightest bit of building would be sufficient to be b'chayev you. And for that matter, hamisatek, something that is done all the time to the stones here in the rova. What is that, huh?
Dressing
the stone, so that you'd make the stone even, or you fix it up on the outside. That is, Mishi, you pointed out to me, how did the stones get like that? And that's called misatek. Those stones are dressed stones. So the slightest bit is also mechayev you. And hamakeve patish. Or, if you took a makeva patish, what would be the shira makeva patish? Or a ma'atzad. A ma'atzad is also a type of patish, except it's a metalworking patish. No. These are the other, even if you bang with a hammer or a metalworking hammer or your drill, all of these would be included as kosher. They're all shirim of kosher when you work on a building. And basically, the klal is, whatever the malacha would be, if that malacha is mitkayemet b'Shabbat, and there are those who would take this as the closure, and this would be sufficient, then that would be chayav. Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel Omer, no, I want to add something. You guys are all talking about the impact that your act has on an object that is outside of the act. But that means that you're understanding makeva patish as a malacha that concludes something about something else. You're banging with this patish on something else to change its status. I want to add that even if you just bang the hammer, and you don't bang it on something else, you bang it on its own sadan. You bang it all on its smithy's anvil. You're also going to be chayim, because you're mitakein the milacha, even though you're not mitakein an act on something else. The Gemara is going to say, "What? In what sense are you mitakein the milacha?" So we shall see. But clearly, he's expanding the concept of makeh bepatish. Yes, the Gemara, what good is a kol shehu? I don't understand a kol shehu. I mean, l'may chazir, what are you going to do with a kol shehu of building? Omer b'yomei, what do you mean? Look, imagine a guy, a poor man, has got a quarter to his name. Richie, poor guy's got a quarter to his name. Would you like to give? He's at the door. You gave it the office. Yeah. Okay. So this guy, it's Erev Shabbos, you know, So wouldn't he dig a little guma to put his quarter into? So if he did that on Shabbos, you'd be chayav, no? And what's the shear? Nothing, enough to cover a quarter. So that would be a kofa guma latzniya baprutotav. Where? In the Mishkan, where do we have? I mean, it has to be a shear malacha that would be choshev in the Mishkan. Where is such a binyan choshev in the Mishkan? Well, listen. If you were a guy who was working on the Tofrei Yeriot, you're one of the people who are embroidering or sewing together the Yeriot HaMishkan. Sorry. You have your own personal best needle. You weren't going to share that with anybody. It's all you need is somebody to take your needle. It's like these guys who work on the matzahs for somebody to take their kneading pins.
My God. Oh my God.
They won't release that kneading pin. You might as well try to pull a tooth. So here too, what would they do? They would dig a little hole to put their needle into. Let's see about Bakate. It's a pipe, but you're crazy. Who's going to put a needle into the ground and have it get rusty? Give it the mishtach ilahavdi. If it gets rusty, that there goes your needle. They wouldn't do that. I'll tell you what it's. A ani, would an ani not make a little, one tiny leg for his little kirak tana, lishpotala, gedera, ketana? The poor guy has got this tiny 2-inch skillet to make himself an egg. So he's got to have an even gira to put it down. So that's like, what, a tiny little bit of metal that'll put there enough to support it so that it's even. And where do we have that in the Mishkan? Let's say that they had dyed 3 tons worth of material. Would you believe it? There was a little less than they needed. And they were missing 2 additional cubic centimeters of dye. So they'd have to make this little tiny anias type of kira. So to make it even, they do the same thing, right? And Mabashle Samamonim Litzboa Yerioche Chasra Malachtan would make Pitpute Kiri Kitana to put a little tiny yore. Says Rebecca, it's ridiculous. When in the Mishkan they're going to save money and make just the amount, and they're going to make a little Pitput Kira Kitana, don't we have a klal of Einaniyut B'makom Ashirut? If you do it, Richie, you do it right. You don't save money on the garbage when you're putting so much money into everything else. And there you are. So it's another 100,000 here, another 100,000 there. You know, it's just easy come, easy go. Basically, everybody's giving donations to the Mishkan. You're going to start saving 35 cents. I mean, that's just nuts. Not their occurrence. That can't be the case. Okay. Imagine a very rich guy who has a beautiful palace. And now, believe it or not, a little bit of tiach falls off of the wall, leaves him a little hole in his wall. It's driving him crazy. Every time he walks past that hole in his multi-million-dollar house, there's a 3-cent hole. You think that he doesn't call the painter to fix the 3-cent hole with a little bit of tiach? Of course he does. It's the first thing he does in the morning. And therefore, he would fix it if he has a neck of a birato. Wouldn't he be so tame? You're saying, what good is a kol shehu, yeah? Let's see whether he'll leave it without that kosher. And in the Mishkan, you do have a case like that. Let's say one of the kreshim, which weighs 50 tons, I mean, I think it's solid wood, and a termite gets into this wood, makes an almost invisible hole, all right? So what do you do there? You take a little bit of lead, you drip it into the hole to seal it up, kill the termites, so you're matif tocha avar v'sotmo. Anyway, you're going to be covering it with gold. So it really doesn't matter. From the outside, it's going to look perfectly healthy. That's not called aniyut b'mokav ashirut. That's a repair. So that type of repair you would do in the Mishkan also. That means that a building of a kol shehu is indeed mechayev. Omar Shmuel, talking about building, if you know, there's this whole, it's now viewed as being very therapeutic, and people are learning how to do it. It used to be the old way of making walls, very popular in New York, upper New York State. They would build walls by lying stones one on the other, like they used to be old walls here. Without using any cement. And
mortar.
No mortar. You put the stones in such a way that the weight of the stones is so perfectly balanced that you can't move them for nothing. So they're naturally in place. Kotel's like, yeah, but that's a different idea. It's perfect. That's perfectly dressed. And they weigh 100 tons. But this is something you often see them. The little walls over here, the terracing walls are made without mortar. Or in you drive through New York State, you see the same thing. There's these walls are made of slate pieces, put one on the other, no mortar between them. So Shmuel, you don't need mortar to make a wall if you're mitzadeh the Evan. Exactly. You know how to put it in such a way that it's perfectly in place. You'd be chayav for binyan without attaching it further.
Replacing one stone.
Yeah, even one stone. Meitveh, hold on a minute. What do you do with this? If one guy puts down the stone and one guy puts down the mortar, then the guy who puts down the mortar is the one who's chayav on Shabbos. No. I thought according to Shmuel, just putting down the stone is enough. Oh, says the Gemara, according to you, how come you don't read the end? Ema Seifa, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, what mortar? Afilu he'elav, iniach, agavidima shalavonim chayav. Even if you take a stone and you put it on top of another row of stones, do you need to be mitzadeit? No. He says, you just put it on top. He doesn't even say mitzadeit.
It's the first stone.
You would be chayav. So now we have three different things. Shmuel says you have to be mitzadeit. The writer says you need mortar. Rabbi Yossi says you just throw it on. So how do you explain this contradiction? Obviously, there are three different areas and levels in the building. That's the point here. And what we have to understand is that Talata Binyani Habit. You have three levels of building. You have foundation building, then you have the wall building, and then you have just the decoration on top, the Elah. So now look, the foundation has to be able to maintain the weight of everything else without relying on mortar. Over there, it requires Sedude. It has to be built of the rocks themselves that are solid, mixed with dirt, and that's it. So it's, there you've got Sedude and Afra. The Mitzia, however, those middle even rows, those are regular bricks or whatever building blocks they use, and they require Tina. Those you need mortar. But the Eloi, we're just putting things on top, like the gargoyles and things, that just requires Hanachabi Alma, and therefore there's no contradiction, nothing to ask on Shmuel. Continues the Mishnah to talk about a Misatet. Now, the Misatet is a little bit confusing, because it says Habone Koshu, then it starts talking about Makabapati, but in the middle is the Misatet. Is the Misatet part of the Bone? Is the Misatet part of the Makabapati? You're dressing the stone. Mishum Maimachayev. Rav says dressing a stone is binyan. Shmuel says it's makav patish. So many Rishonim learn that Rav says it's chayav also. Mishum binyan. That patish is coming close.
Also binyan, including makav patish.
Also binyan. Nafkamina would be what you gave him hasra. Can you be mukhuyev a makev a patish if there's also binyan? So you require two chataot if it's the same. If you did binyan plus this, besides that, you'd be potter if you hold it's all, but you can't be mukhuyev two things for the sid guy. That's two malachas, belamacha. Said to be big nafkaminas. So Shmuel holds, no, you're only chayev as makev a patish. That's not considered to be the derech of binyan. A guy makes a lul, a hole in a lul shel tanagon. So he wants to let out a little of the fetid air that's inside of the chicken coop. Rav Amar Mishum Bonet. Shmuel says, that's the Makav Apatish. People don't make holes in buildings. So that's called a Makav Apatish. It completes the making of a chicken coop if you're a chicken. And how about Ayo Shufta Bekupita Damara? Guy takes a small chip of wood to stick it into the handle of the hoe, and that way it sticks. A situation that very often comes up here, where you've got no broomsticks, and you can never get them to stay after the first week unless you add a little piece of wood in there. Of course, you can always drill a hole and screw in a screw.
Yes.
Oh, so what's the case of Shufta Bekupina Damar? Also Machlokas. Rav says that's called Binyan. I ain't Binyan Bekalim. Rav Holstein is the Marshal that all Machlokas. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, about Ein Binyan Bekelim is not about Ein Binyan Bekelim. It's not talking about a menorah shel chuyas that broke up. It's talking about whether it's near a kebinyan if you're miming it when it didn't break up. Fine. Okay. Shmuel says, no, that's called makav patish. It's not called a binyan. Vitzrich. We need three different cases that Shmuel argues with Rabin. Because I would say in the first case of the Misatet, I would say, okay, if I only knew that case, I'll say, that's why Rav holds your chayav mishum binyan. Because, I mean, that is the derech of binyan. You have to dress the stones, make the stones look nice. It's part of building a building. But to make a hole in a lul shel tanagon, did you ever make a hole in your living room? And that's not called binyan. So, it's a neck of lul shel tanagon, that's not the derech of binyan. So maybe over there, he would be in derech binyan bekar. Ema modi leila shmuel, that the only chiyav over there is bishur makav patish. V'yashmin about, let's say I know that case. I would say, okay, in that case, Rav says a hole in a chicken coop is the equivalent of a window in a living room. If you're a chicken, then this is your window. So that is considered to be minyan. But maybe that's why Rav says you're chayim mishum binyan, because it's similar to a guy. It's domi la binyan. The avdei la avira, people will make windows for air. But a shuv to the kupita damara, but putting a chip into something else, that's the derek of binyan. Is that the derek of binyan? Derek of binyan is you make things in such a way that they're properly done. So ain derek binyan bekach, maybe better l'shmul, that's not a chiyav of binyan. It's only a chiyav of makav patish. And on the other hand, let's say we knew this case, this last case. Say, well, so don't you know the other cases? Well, maybe you do for Rav, but you don't for Shmuel now, do you? Yes, me and Abara would say, okay, Shmuel, in this case, is saying it's makav patish. But the other cases, those are more similar to binyan. Maybe we made it to Rav, that you're chayav for binyan. Therefore, we need all of the cases. Tzricha. Hazorek v'nizkar miachar shiyatzta miyado. Kalta kelavosh nisaf ha-patur. Zorak la'sort chabura bein ba'adam bein ba'ima. V'nizkar shalo naseh ta chabura patur. V'klal v'in. But if Tchilatan Shkaga v'sofan Zadon, or Tchilatan Zadon v'sofan Shkaga, peturin, ache Tchilatan v'sofan Shkaga. Now, the mashmud of the resha is that if the dog, he didn't get it and it was enough, he'd be chayev. Why? Alo niska, utzran kol chayevecha ta'od, einan chayevin, ache Tchilatan v'sofan Shkaga. Omrav Kana, no, the klal. And the safe is only when you can do something about it. Like a case of a lachto matna. Lachto matna, you wouldn't be chayvan otzah at all. It's obdobi yado. Well, not otzah. Can't you chayvan otzah chabura? But that case is one of the cases. Anami tenina hazorek lasot chabura. Bein badam bein beveimah. V'niskat sholot ha'asif chabura potter. Elam Arava, look, the case of the seifa is b'mavir, but it's a zaklal in cases of zrika. Elam Arava, okay, forget it. The approach is wrong. Truth is, it doesn't matter if you can do something about it or not. So tarte katani hazorek a b niskar miachar shiyot niskar miachar shiyot is one b inami lo niskar but kol ta'achar c kol ta'kelav or d nisafa all the above you'd be patra ravasher mechazir 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 katani hazorek b niskar miachar shiyot smiyado and then kol ta'achar kol ta'kelav is for patra and indeed the original diak is correct nocha would be chayev now add in these words. But the Edvarim Aburim, that at the time that the end of the Malacha took place because of a Shachach. Avalo because of a Shachach Patur. Why? Sheko Chayavechatotin and Chayavin. Ache Tilatan Vesofan Shkaga. Even if there was nothing you could do about it. Zekla. Ko Chayavechatot Itman. Shteyamot Bishogeg. Shteyamot Bebezit. Shteyamot Bishogeg. What's the din? Rav Amar Patur. Rav Amar Chayav. Rav Amar Patur. Even according to Rav Amar Patur, it's in Yedilachatzishyur. That's because the chikogama shiur, at least you were gomer b'shogeg, and therefore I could be mitzarefit. Avalachet b'meisid lo. What do you mean? What's the case? I mean, if it's b'zorig, then it's b'shogeg. No, he's talking about a case where it's b'mav here. Rabba says you'd be chayav afil rabba d'namre yeshidi elachatzi shiur. That's because you could, in that case, have stopped. You're just starting as a new starting. Avalachet ein b'yado, what could you do about it? Lo. Wait, so what case is he talking about? Ibamav here, he could have stopped. You're right. He's talking about his zorek. Two different cases, Rabba and Rabba. Omar Rabba, Zorak v'nocha b'fi kelev avi kivshar chayav. What? Anan zan kol ta'achar kol ta'kelev yisra potter. Yeah, that's because that's not where he had originally intended. But ocha t'kam mechavein, he is mashve amok v'choshu by his makshava. Omar Abibi barabai avan anami t'nina. Yeisho chelach ila achat v'chayav ala arba achatot v'asham echat. Hatamei shachar chelev, which was notar min hamukdashim on Yom Kippurim, Rebbe Meir says, yeah, and if it was Shabbos and he was eating it while he was walking and he swallowed it, he's also chayev. Oh, come on, that's ain't min hashim. But in any event, amai ha'im derech otzabeka elakivan derkam bechavein machshav tomash vele makom. If that's the case, hakanami kivan derkam bechavein to feed the doggy. Then that is Mashav. Tomash Vele Makom. Adon Allah Hazorek. habonek, ama yivne meyechayav habonek kolshu, or misatet, or makav patish, or matzat, or drilling, speaking of which, kodea kolshu would be chayav. In fact, ze haklal, kolo semelacha, umlakomet kayemet b'shabbat, he would be chayav. Reb Shimon Gamliel, long enough, you have to add an additional thing, which is a makav akornis ala sadan, b'shaat melacha, even though he didn't hit anything else, he's chayev because he's been mitaken the melacha itself, which we at this point do not yet understand. Kol shulamai chazia, om Rabbi Yirmiyahu. What do you mean? If a guy's an oni, he's chayev for gumel atzniyah b'prutotav. And in the Mishkan, where do you find it? We find such a thing in the Mishkan because tofre yiriot or chofren guma latzniyah ben machateim. A bias says that's not a good case. I mean, over there gets rusty. Who's going to do that? So I'll have the yachid. El shkenani osep people take kiraktana lishvot ala yakideraktana, because that's all he can afford. Where do we find such a thing in a Mishkan? Kavat gav in Mishkan. If you're a little bit short, and the bavashleit samanim were short on the tzeva, it's boy yuriyot chasram alaktan. They would also make us see people take your aktana, lishpot alea your rektana. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, I've never heard of such a thing. Ina niyut b'makom ha-shirot. Ashkeit ba'al abayit shishot nekev b'birato. You're telling me you're not going to seal it up? It's mamish ha-koshu, but it drives you crazy. The kavataga b'mishkan, sheken kere, shenaf labo darna, matif l'tocho avar b'sotmo. Oh, Mashuel, I'm mitzadeh to heaven chayav. Meitve, echad noten to heaven, echad noten to tatit, noten to tatit chayav. No, v'latayne. What are you going to do about the sefer, Rabbi Yisrael? Even if you were only in Bala, I'd be niach agavidim shalavanim yirchayav. That's even without mitzadeh. So the same brayta takes two stands, according to you, against Shmuel, and opposite extremes. One, you don't need sidur, and the other one, you do need mortar. Ella tlata binyoni ave, obviously. Tata mitzi ave ela. The tata requires to do the viafra. The mitzia requires actual mourner. And the eloi banacha biyalma. Hamisateit. Misateit mishumai mechayet. Rav amar mishum bone. Shmuel amar only mishumaki bepatish. Hosin neke belusho tarnagol. Same thing. Rav amar bone. Shmuel amar only mishumaki bepatish. Aile shufta bekupina demara. Rav amar bishum bonesh. Well, says, no, only mishumak bepatish ritzricha. The ashmini kam ayata would say, okay, you know why Rav holds over there? Misatet is chayeb bebinim shkein derech binim bekar. Avalo sen neke belusho tarnagolim. Where nobody makes a hole in their house, so in derech binyan bekar. Maybe be murdered as shmo. The ashmini babakal rav. Because at least it's domi lebinyan because people do make windows. So avdi lavira. But a shuf to the kupina de mars bechlam not derech binyan bekar. So maybe be made your chayav only as mak vepatish. The ashmina ba'ava kamishmu abu banach tati emel rab. Therefore tzricha.
So today we've got our bushel full on daf kuf beis, and we begin at the mishnah, the Sabbat Josh's introduction.
Zukta ha'idik mishnah.
A little instrumentation, I think. Hazorek. Somebody throws something from Rishus to Rishus, or more than 4 hours from Rishus to Rabim, and as the chafetz leaves his hand on its trajectory, he suddenly remembers, oh my God, Shabbos! Of course, at that point, what do you do? And what the Mishnah seems to be saying is, you can always hope that a doggy will come and swallow it before it gets to land. Or maybe some pitcher out of nowhere will suddenly show up, run and catch the ball, and then it landed where you didn't intend it to land, and then you didn't do the malacha. At least that's what it seems to be saying. In which case, your knowing that it was Shabbat is irrelevant, basically, because who cares if you remember and you didn't remember? I mean, you're telling me that in a case where Kalta Keller, let's say a sea captain comes along, jumps down right into his seat as that ball is coming, jumps and you never think he would be there, then it would be Potter because he interrupted the Hotzah. But then, of course, who cares if you were Nisker or not? This is going to concern us in the Gemara. There's two basic approaches, which I'm sure you can see immediately. We might be talking about two separate issues. A, Hazorek Miniskar, you remembered, and therefore the time that it landed, you were not a Shokei. B, you didn't remember, and something took the place of the Mokam that it would have been Munah. That's the other approach. That would be the second part. Or, the other approach would be, You remembered afterwards. You think that that's going to make a difference? Absolutely not. Because at this point, since you've already done everything you were going to do, because we're talking about as a recount, it doesn't matter if you remember or not. Because your memory, your knowledge of it's being Shabbat is irrelevant because there's nothing you can do about it. The trajectory has begun and you can't stop it. Therefore, only if Kalta Akar, Kalta Kelev would you be Patur because it wasn't completed in the way that you wanted it. But the very fact that you knew that it was Shabbat isn't going to change anything. Those are two diametrically opposed approaches, of course. So according to one, you would be Patur, if you remember, even though you can't do anything about it. According to the other one, on the contrary, it's going to tell me you would be Chayev, even if you remember in the middle, unless something else came into the place. Zarak lasot chabura. Now let's say that you threw something in order to hit someone. And it doesn't matter whether that someone is a person or that someone is an animal. And then you remembered before it hit him, oh my God, I didn't want to kill him on Shabbos. That's a malacha. So, achalona seta chabura. You remembered before it hits him, you would be patur. Now again, here it's not clear. This might mean, well, you could have done something about it. In other words, you were throwing something at the end of a string at him, and you were going to pull back. Something like that. Okay, so again, it depends how we're going to learn the Mishnah to apply this case particularly. The Zerklav, the general rule being that kol chayavecha ta'ot enan chayavim ha-tehei techilatan visofan shigagah. Any time you chayav ha-chatat, you would only be chayav if at the time that you did the first stage of the malacha, it was a shogeg, and at the time that the malacha completed, it was a shogeg. But if you found out in the middle, so that you would have a tchilatan shigaga, v'safan zadon, tchilatan zadon v'safan shigaga, turam. In any other case, it would be potter, hachte tchilatan v'safan shigaga, you would need that it would be shogeg mitchila v'yatsof. Seems to be a little repetitious. We're going to have to think about what additional case that might include. Now, let me get this straight, says the Gemara. You say you threw it, remembered, and then the doggy ate it up. Now, in other words, you're telling me if the doggy didn't eat it up, hanacha, if it had ended up actually now landing the way you wanted it, you would have been chayav. But I thought you remembered. Well, on this guy, you remembered before. And we said the rule is, I mean, the end of the Mishnah says, the rule is if you remember in the middle and it wasn't sofan bishkaga, then you would be patur. So what's this business about the doggy? The Mishnah say it's got to be shogeg all the way. Omer of Kahana, well, I'll tell you, that last piece about it's got to be shogeg all the way is not a reference back to the beginning of the Mishnah. That piece is talking about where there's something that you could do about what it is that had been done. So in other words, let's say you're throwing a lakta or a mitna. A lakta is a type of a roof rack for a chamor, in which it's bent over and it has a little hook on it so that you can balance the containers of wine on either end. So, okay, when you throw it over, you're still holding one end, you throw it over the other end, now you can remember, whoops, and stop. Or if you've got a mitzna, which is simply a string, maybe you've got a weight on the end of the string, and you throw it over, but you're still holding the string. So over there, since it's possible for you to do something about it, when you remember that it's Shabbat, and you continue to allow it to fly instead of doing something about it. There, it's significant that you remember. But once you've done everything that you could possibly do, and the ball is now on a trajectory, who cares if you remember or not? So that's the way to understand the two parts of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah is talking about where you threw something, released it from your hand, and then it's coming to say, well, even if you remember it then, since you can't do anything about it, your only hope is that the dog will eat it up. Mashain came. The last part that's talking about Zach Long is referring to where you could do something about it. Says, well, what do you mean you could do something about it? If you could do something about it, then it isn't Hotza'ah. Remember, the rule is that as long as part of a thing still remains behind and the other should, in this case, the string is still in your hand, you never did a Hotza'ah. It had to have been released in order for it to be a Hotza'ah to be in the other should. So what are you telling me? Since I could do something about it, therefore my memory becomes significant. Forget about your memory. If you threw something while holding on to the other end, you're not going to be kind of an Hotza'ah anyway, whether you remember it or not. So how could Lakto Mitna be the case in the Sefer? No, that's impossible. Ogdo b'yado. You're still holding the other end, and we have the klal that we're ogdo b'yado, as we saw much earlier than the second. It's not considered to be outside. But no, the last part wasn't talking about where you were throwing it to do a hotza'ah. The last part was where you were throwing it in order to kill the guy. Kegon shenit kaven la'asot chabura is what it was referring to. I'm going to throw something at him. So over there, you're holding on to the other side. You're not going to waste a good stone on him after all. But you're going to pull it back. But the bottom line is, you're going to be chayav on Shabbos unless you remember. That's what I'm talking about. If you remember before it hits him, so then you're not going to be chayav because you weren't shogeg. You were amazing. No, wait a second. That's a different case. That was the case in the Reisha, wasn't it? Atanina, hazorek lasot chabura. Bein ba'adam, bein beima. I see that very clearly right there before the Zeach Klal. I mean, I don't need to say Zeach Klal on a case that I mentioned, which was the prat. So you're telling me the prat is somebody intends to throw something at a person in order to make a chabura. V'nizkar atshelo naseh chabura. And obviously it had to be talking about that he's holding a thing in his hand, because we were already agreed that if he's not holding it in his hand, it doesn't remember. Doesn't matter if he remembers. And then you come along to say, and yes, that's the rule. If you're holding something in your hand, you intend to hit somebody. I mean, what's the point to say, yes, that's the rule? So we can forget about this pshat. This is not a good pshat to explain the last part of the Zeach Klal as a reference to the chabura itself. And if it's referring to Zorek, and the only way that we answer the contradiction between the Reisha and the Sefer, in which the Reisha is saying, Doc, if the dog ate it up, would you be plucked? And the Zeach Klal is saying that even if you just remembered, you would be plucked. There's got to be another explanation. It can't be where you had it under control, because if you had it under control, then you weren't being over no self. Elo my Rava says, Rava, why does it have to be that you were throwing it? Why can't the second case be that you have it under your control because you're carrying it? You're walking. You're walking along. So in other words, the Mishnah begins with a case of Hazorek. And it comes to tell me that if you were Zorek, it doesn't matter if you remember or not. Even if you remembered it was Shabbat, you're going to be Chayav Bechakos because you already did whatever, unless, of course, the dog eats it up. Fine. That's the ratio. Comes along to say it. Say Zeach Klal. A guy who was walking along on Shabbat and carrying it forgot that it was Shabbat. And then remembered before he came to a stop that it was Shabbat. And he continues to carry. Such a person would be Potter because it began Bishogging and ended in Mason. That's all very simple, says Rava. So because of that, we can learn that the last piece, the Zeach Klal, is referring to Mavir. Yeah, but Rava, the Zeach Klal is a reference to what was said before. We talk about cases of Zrika. And then we say Zeach Klal, and all of a sudden Zeach Klal is talking about a guy that's walking? And I said, well, does that have something to do with it? It's not an illustration of our case for Klal. That's not reasonable. Rav accepted that. Elam HaRav is, okay, fine, you're right. You know what? Our assumption that you would be, that it's irrelevant if you remember in a case where you can't control it, is a wrong assumption. There's two completely different things. The way to read the opening of the Mishnah is that there's two cases here. A, Hazorek v'niskar mi'akash yatzta mi'ado, you're potter. You say, well, how could you be potter? You couldn't have done anything about it anyway. So what? The klal is that you have to be in a state of shogeg at the time of the completion of the malacha. That's b'chayav yirachatas. That's all. It's nothing to do with whether you could control it or not. Since I'm not in a state of shogeg, I'm potter. There's also another thing. Or, inami, lo niskar, fine, you didn't remember that it was Shabbat. So you would have been chayav yirachatas. Except it comes along a doggy and eats it up. So then you're not tired for another reason. You're not tired because it wasn't the Zerika that you had intended. It wasn't going to land where you would have landed if it wouldn't have been for the interference of the doggy or the captain. So we have over here, you know, Loni's car, Kalta Acher, or Kalta Kelev, or Shenisrafa, got burned up in the Pi Tanur or whatever. In all these cases, you would be potter. Of course, this is a radically different explanation because he's now turning aside from our original assumption that the Mishnah would only be saying that remembering it Shabbat is meaningful where you could have done something about knowing it was Shabbat. You say, no, that's not the point. The point is your state of mind at the time of the completion of the Malacha. Would it be Machayev Yilachatat or not? Rav Ashi Amar, I don't like that. I don't like the change over here. We can fit it in. Look, let's go back again here. We'll shoehorn it in a bit here. Chisurim Bechasra. Let's read this Mishnah as if it's missing. If it isn't really missing, if these stuff points out, you don't need to actually insert words because it still reads perfectly well the way it is. But in other words, conceptually, it's Chisurim Bechasra. Read the Mishnah like this. Hazorek v'niskar me'akrish yatzta miyado. You threw, and then you remembered. The only way you would be potter would be if the dog eats it up. Something that stops it from landing, that would be pottering you from the chatas. The implication being, of course, that hanocha, had you completed the original zrika, whatever your state of mind would have been, chayav. Ah, but bameh devarim amurim, when would such a thing be said as being true? Shechazar v'shachach. This is only where it landed. So it's the pshat that we're saying, I agree with you. In other words, the concept that we're saying, I agree with you. I don't like the approach at its being two completely different cases. It's like this. It's all one case, not two cases, the way you're learning. Conceptually, you're correct. And what the Mishnah is coming to add is a very important piece, which you need your imagination to see here. And that is, what happens if the beginning of the Malachas B'Shogeg and the end of the Malachas B'Shogeg, but you remembered in the middle, And being as Richie, we've established that this guy is a serious case of Alzheimer's. So there's no problem. And just, oh, it's Shabbos. Gee, nice Thursday out there. So so therefore, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, where would I say that unless the dog ate it up, it would be chayev? That's dafka, where shakazar b'shakakzer, at the end of the melacha, you would be also a shogeg and would be chayev. Avalo chazar b'shakak patur. But even if it landed, if you didn't remember, if you didn't forget that it was Shabbos by the time it landed, you would indeed be potter. Shekol chayvei chataot, that comes in the Kalal. To explain, shekol chayvei chataot, eino chayavim achet tzilatan. V'sofan shkagas. Now, according to this approach, the Mishnah is actually, by confusing us in this way, comes along and tells us a big kiddush. That afal pi kein, in other words, you would say there was a yediyah over here, and yediyahs normally are mechalkot. The only question being whether yesh yediyah katzi shiur, because I only remember it before it was completed. And that's a machlokas, whether yesh yediyah katzi shiur. In this particular case, it wouldn't even matter. Because the since it's ein biyado lahavziran, so certainly it's not significant. There's nothing you could do about it anyway. So nothing has changed whatsoever. So that yediyah in the middle, which is the additional chiddush, is nonetheless not going to potter you from the Yivkatas of Yivkatas. According to Abaye, so what do we have here? Conceptually, we have two very important approaches. Practically, and how to shoehorn it in the Mishnah, we may be able to do more than that. But we have two basic approaches, as I mentioned to you while we learned the Mishnah. Either we've got two cases in which Zorek Veniskar is itself would be one patur, and then the dog eating it up would be another patur. Well, we have the original way we assumed, that even if you remember that it was Shabbos, you would still be chayav unless the dog ate it up, since you can't do anything about it at the time that you remember. Abaye adds, by the way that he's explaining the Mishnah, an additional chiddush halacha, that a yediyah in between the tchilas hamalacha. And so if hamalacha is unimportant, as long as the tchilat hamalacha was done b'shogeg and the sof hamalacha was done b'shogeg. But Tosfos is bothered, and as a matter of fact, he says, I don't understand. I don't have an answer to this. What's the point of throwing in the case of the Chabura, according to this? That middle case. I mean, all it did was basically confuse us a little by making us think that we could stick it into the Zach Klal, and that was talking about you were still holding it, and you weren't doing a Zrika, but you were really doing a Chabura. I mean, what's it doing there, actually? I mean, if you're telling me a Klal about the nature of Malacha, so I mean, what, I think Chabura is any different? Why would I think Chabura is different?
You really have concentration.
Hmm?
In that case, you have concentration a lot on the endpoint, so it's sort of like, because it's a very strange little idea that you throw something and it has no effect, you're thinking about it at the end.
Explain. That's the idea of learning Gemara, is to think it out, not just say it's different.
Every other one has one thing, doing the other one is one thing. Okay. Two different things with the thing in the middle.
Okay, maybe it's also orange, but how does that have to do with the mission? Explain yourself.
It's Chabura, because it's one thing, you can't have a beginning and end.
Okay, so therefore, what would I?
Here we created Chabura with a beginning and end because of the throwing.
Yeah, true.
How could a Zrika of the Chabura be the Tchilat of the Shogei?
You didn't know it was Shabbos. You know, you want to kill the guy. You certainly want to kill him on Shabbos.
Ah,
okay. Right. Yeah. I mean, what do you mean, Bishoke? You're trying to throw a rocket at that Bishoke. No, I think what you're all being choter to over here, both of you basically pointing out the same Nakuda, which is that the act of Zrika in terms of the Chabura, in a sense, is irrelevant, other than it being the thing that allows the Chabura to happen. Ashenkin, when you do the Zrika by the Shabbat, you've already begun the actual act of Otsa'ah, in which case it may be significant because I did part of the Otsa'ah by doing the Akira. When it ends, you can actually say it was partially this or partially that. But when it comes to the Zrika, the Chabura is only the Chabura. So whatever my state is at the time of the Chabura should be definitive. It doesn't. What difference does it make what it was at the time? Or Mamanushach, if you hold that the whole Chiyuv comes only after all from the fact that you did it. So who cares what your state of mind was at the end? All that we care about is, okay, what did you do? Mashenkin, when it comes to Hotzar, it is actually two. It's the only case in which a Malacha extends over time, so to speak, in which you can have the Tchila and Sof. So I understand, let's say, when it comes to Kotev Shteyotiyot. Over there, obviously, it's the first one in the Torah, the last one in the... In other words, any of the Malachot could be extended over time through Shiur. part of the shiur was done now, part of the shiur was done now. But the only malacha we could talk about, conceptually spread over time, is actually hotza'ah, where components could be shodi b'mezid. And therefore, we'd want to contrast it to an act, which is irrelevant in terms of the chiyuv, other than the fact that, in the end, it's the garden of the chiyuv, and the event that causes the chiyuv. Okay. So, zaklal, continues the Mishnah, zaklal, kol chayavei chata'ot, and we said you need to be tefilatan, and so fun b'shogeg. Now, very interesting, because this opens up an interesting idea, and that is what's the relationship of the middle of the hotza'ah to the, in other words, the actual being ma'avir. I mean, obviously the hotza'ah has got something to do with changing the position of the object, even though you didn't do the handoff yet. So, I mean, is it irrelevant to us what happens in between? Let's say we have a case like this. Idma. Shtei amot b'shogeg. Shtei amot b'mezid. Shtei amot b'shogeg. How about you remembered in the middle, forgot after the next few amos, and ended b'shogeg as well? What would be the case over there? Rabba omer patur, Rabba omer chayav. Rabba says, I'll tell you why I say it's patur. Because even according to Rabba Gamliel, remember Rabba Gamliel was the man Yomer we had before, who holds ein yediyah l'chatzi shiur. And therefore, you're not going to break an act in terms of chiyuv chatat by finding out that you did a chatzi shiur of this. Maybe that's only in a case where hata mutafi kagoma shiura b'shogeg kagoma. What's the shiur of hotza? Four amas. We're talking about over here, Bereshit Rabbim. Four amas. Over here, at the point where I got the four amas away from where I am, I was no longer b'shogeg. Now I suddenly forget again at Shabbos. It goes another two amot, now completes the four amot with the middle two amot b'mezid. I say, says Rabbi, I say, that haka, that's the only reason that Rabbi Gamliel was saying ein yediyah l'chatzi shiur, was because at the time that you completed it, you completed it b'shogeg, and therefore we don't care about the fact that you remembered it. What's the memory in between have to do with anything? Did you do the akira b'shogeg? Yes. Did you do the anoka b'shogeg? Yes. Did you do ba'avir ba'arbamas? Yes. You notice everything's fine. But in a case where over here I completed the ba'avir ba'arbamas, and at that point had it landed, I would have been parted from a chatas because I was amazing. So over there he would have agreed that in this case, even Rabbi Gamaliel would agree that the fact that it was a yediyah at that time means that I'm put. Whereas Rabba should say, Omar Chayav, I say just the opposite. Exactly the opposite. Even according to Rabbanan, who normally hold Yeshi, the Elechatzi Shiur. And therefore, if you remembered, and at this point, you're basically starting over again. When are you starting over again? You're starting over again when the fact that you remembered it is significant and that you could have done something about it. So then we look at the rest of this basically as a different act. Up till now you were shogeg, now you're doing an act that's amazing. But if you threw something, what do you mean now you're doing an act that's amazing? What do you mean now you're doing an act that's amazing? Yeah, there's nothing you could do anyway about it. So therefore, here even the Rabbanu would be murdered. What's the significance of a yediyah l'chatzi shiur? It's totally irrelevant. Is it mechayev yuchatas chatzi shiur? No. Could you do something about it so that we should look at the rest of the act as amazing? No. No, first of all, forget about the fact that you do in the middle. Who cares? I say therefore, says Rava, that on the contrary, you would be putter. Have a lot in the other law. Now, says Gemara, the truth is, I skipped a little piece here, I think, right? Yeah. The truth is that they're not even arguing with each other. Why not? Let's go back for a minute. When Rava said that you were putter, even according to Rabbi Gamaliel, tell me what the case was. No, my. Ibizore, what's the case talking about? That we're talking about that he had thrown it? If he had thrown it, he's still a shogeg in the middle. You're saying, he knows that it's Shabbos. Okay, so, did he do anything when he knew it was Shabbos? Did he do anything wrong? He didn't do anything at all. He had done the thing already a minute ago. He's not doing anything now. You're saying, but theoretically, he knows about it. Who cares? I couldn't possibly suggest that according to Rabbi Gamliel, that's meaningful. He can't stop it. Since at the end, even you're going to tell me, yeah, but your state has to be shogeg at the time the malacha was finished. It was shogeg at the time the malacha was finished. I forgot it was Shabbos by the time the malacha was finished. So what's your objection? Certainly not yediyah l'chatzi shiur. I mean, I understand. Nobody could possibly say over here that it's meaningful. So I've got to be talking about, Rabba's case has got to be talking about, the ma'avir, where the guy is walking and he's crossing four amot b'rishot rabim, and now he remembers in between there, says Rabba, in that case, that you would be potter. Because you were being ma'avir. Why? Because at the time that you remembered, you could have stopped. If you would have stopped now at the end of Arba Amos and you knew it was Shabbos, it would have been a malacha and it would have been the end of the shiur for Amos. And that was while you were in a state of b'mezid. That's where I was saying it's a malacha b'mezid. Fine. That's the Elabim Avir, whereas Rava, the Nusach that we have is very confused. It says Rava twice, basically saying opposite things. The second one is Rava. So Rava, who says that you're Chayev, says the Gemara now, B'mai. What's Rava talking about? Ibn Avir, I mean, the whole logic of Rava, he was saying that even the Rabbanan, no matter when, there's nothing you can do about it. But what do you mean? If he's talking about a case where you're walking, what do you mean there's nothing to do about it? There's everything to do about it. Hare the Yado, you can do something about it. Keep telling him jokes because it wakes him up. Even if it's at my expense. No, it's fine.
I just said thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything that works. I'll take anything. Ela bizorek. So as it turns out that Rabbah and Rabbah were talking about two different cases. What would be the din of the middle stage, if you remembered in the middle and then completed it? Would it be Chayev or Potter? So they're talking about two different cases. Rabbah says you're Potter. He's talking about the case of Mavir where it's significant that you ended the shir, Rabbah says you're Potter because what's the difference if you remember, since he's talking about Zorek? Nothing you could have done about it. So basically, they're simply pointing out two different facts, which each one would have been made in the other one's case, that would have been the halakha if the middle two Amas were the Yediyah. Oh, my Rabbah. Or some rabba again here. Zorak v'nacha b'fiakela. If you threw something and it lands in a dog's mouth, over piakivshan, the dog eats it up. Or it lands in a stove and the stove eats it up. So in both of those cases, you would be chayim. V'nansan kalta acher kalta kelav ocean is a potter. Our Mishnah didn't say that. Our Mishnah said, if the dog eats it up, or if it lands in an oven and gets burnt up, or if the captain appears suddenly out of nowhere and catches it, so then it would be potter. You're saying it's chayim. No, excuse me. The case in the Mishnah is where it landed there, and your intent wasn't that it should land there. Over here, I'm talking about a case where he threw it in order to give the doggy food, or he threw it in order to get rid of it, get it into the oven. But there, of course, since that's its intent, so then he would be chayim. So there it's the lo mechavein, but hacha the kamechavein. Amar Bibi bar Abaye
afanan. The oven, but the dog. I mean, well, high enough that whether the dog is smart.
But the dog can catch. Yeah, I'm throwing to a lot of there.
Potter, if it's a smart dog, I'm higher.
Stupid dog.
Okay, this dog doesn't know how to catch. I throw it once to catch. He doesn't know how to catch. So now I'm putter, but he does catch.
Did he catch?
He caught it.
There you go.
It was a lucky catch.
A lucky catch. Wasn't lucky for me. It made me chayav chatas. So obviously it was an unlucky catch. It must be smarter than you know.
It should be gone.
It doesn't matter, because the point is that this is my intent is to get it to this mukkah. You'll say, but what's the chashivas of that mukkah? Since this is where I want it to land, that makes you, if it would have landed there, I'd be potter. I bedatka to it then for him to catch. I'm playing ball with my doggy. I'm not playing ball to throw balls out on the yard. Right? So I was machshiv. Normally we would say, what kind of business is that? I mean, that's not a reasonable place to put a ball. Yeah, but it is if you're playing ball with your dog, isn't it? And that's good for the Kiddush over here, that even a place which is normally not considered to be a makom hanaka, not a makom arba al arba, certainly not going to say it's the equivalent of your hand, that it's chashiv like arba al arba. Nonetheless, we're saying since you were makshiv, because your intent is to play ball with your dog or to feed your dog, therefore that becomes the actual makom hanaka.
Wouldn't we have thought that to be the case anyways?
No, actually, watch out. Who is your insurance company? Actually, we need to bring a raya. Actually, we need to bring a raya that this is true and that you could be makshiv something which is normally not the derech of hanocha.
And throw the ball to the dog and the dog catches it. Wouldn't you think that makes you chayav?
Yeah, but remember that there's this din of hanocha b'mokam arba al arba. Don't forget that piece. Normally, if I throw something, like all the kids we had before, it lands on the edge of the wall, right? I'm throwing my tevela there, my sticky figgy, the date. So over there, I would be potter. Not because it didn't go arbanas, but because it was a knock in the arbanas correctly. Unless I could be sure that it's an amokam arbana that's permanently implanted.
So the dog was standing on the ground when he caught it and different exactly?
Yeah, he would be different. Sure. In other words, the question of whether something flying is considered to be an offer is always an issue. Absolutely. Umra bibi barabaya, pananami tanina. I can bring you a proof, actually, to this idea that when you decide that you want to do something, that's considered to be makshiv, even what is normally not considered to be a real mokum agavi hanocha. Because in the famous case that we've spoken about so many times before, which is a guy who eats one kezias and manages to go bankrupt over it because he got so many korban chatos to bring. So what is yesh ochel achilachat? You'll remember this. V'chayav alav arba chatot v'hasham echad. You could be chayav for one kezayis to bring four korbanot chata'ah and one korban asham. What would be the case? The guy is tummy, and he's eating, forget about why he's tummy right now, so far it's irrelevant, but he's eating chaylev. Okay, chaylev, this is correct, so that's one chata. And this chaylev is notar. So since it's notar, that's another isur karetz, and that's two. But of course, if it's notar, it must have been kodesh. And if it's kodesh, then he is eating also betuna. He's a tomei that's ochel kodesh. Not to mention the fact that it's Yom HaKippurim, which is another isur karetz. And therefore, he's taking something from Hekdesh, his chaylev, noser, Yom Kippur, and tomei she'ochel esar kodesh. And of course, he has to bring an asham mi'ilot, because even if he would be a kohen, he's not allowed to eat something which is from the emurim of kachim. If it was nosur over a year, so therefore he would be chayav five separate korbanos. Rabbi Meir says, "Ah, come on, you're not getting efficient enough. What if it was Shabbos? Might as well get him one more. If it was Shabbos and he swallowed this while he was walking, so then once he swallows it, that becomes his hanacha." Because once it's in his tummy, I mean, that's the end of it. So that's as munach as you can get, right?
We saw that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, we discussed this case, actually. So they said back to Rebbe Meir, now, you know, I mean, shame. I mean, that's not because he ate it. That's because of Otsaw. We're talking about chata'ot or hashamot that you could be chayav for eating. I mean, you could also say that the guy was at the same time shooting a machine gun at the people around him. I mean, but we're not looking at the same time. We're looking at the same act. Now, over here, this you're chayav only because it's Otsaw. Now, I ask you, forget about the Enu Min Hashem. I mean, is that the point? The point is this the Derech of Otsaw? I mean, the Derech of Otsaw is to put something inside of an organism that's full of acid. I mean, I understand what that's not hotza'ah. That's like throwing it into an oven and having it burn up. Ah, but that's the point. That's your intent. That's what you want. You'll like it to be in that sack in organisms that's full of acid for some strange reason. So if that's the case, give it a kamechave. Makshavto mashvele makom. So your thought that that's a good idea makes that a place which is considered to be a makom anachai. No, normally it's certainly not arba al arba, and it's certainly not very good for the piece of cake that you stuck into that package. But nonetheless, that's what you want. So achanami kiman dekamechavein makshavto mashvele makom. It's your very thought. Remember, our idea over here is not whether it's derech hotza'abekach. Obviously, it's derech hotza'abekach to go walking out. We've already talked about that. Somebody's carrying around a breath sweetener or something. That's called derech hotza'. Obviously, eating is derech hotza'. But the question over here is regarding hanacha. Is this considered to be actual hanacha, or just getting rid of it? I used to know it's considered to be hanacha. And therefore, the same thing would be true over here. I'm sort of spreading this out to allow Sabajash to really be ready. And there we go. And Hagrin Alach HaZorek Paul Robeson couldn't have done better. Old Man River Haboneh. So now, the other cases, we finally got to a parrot that has something to do with something other than Hotza, but don't worry, not for long. So we had the Mishnah that interrupted our story of Hotza with some other malachas, you know, 38 other malachas. For some reason, we've decided the next thing that we should discuss is habonet, which is really strange, because that certainly wasn't the next, unless it's the Mishkan that we're thinking about, because we talked about the Levian carrying the next thing we talk about is putting it back together again. That might be a possibility. In any event, what is the shear of bonet? How much do you have to build to be chayav? Well, habonet koshu. Any amount that adds to binyan would be all chayav. So for instance, let's understand what we mean by binyan. Hamisatek. Somebody takes a stone and he's misatek the stone. So what he does is he makes it pretty. Either, Rashi says, some people like to have their stones with little lines in them, and some people like to have their stones with little speckles in them, and some people like to have their stones smooth. But whatever it is, that's considered to be part of the, he says in Eretz Ashkenaz, I heard that they like wine. But anyway, dressing, whatever, well, I'm not sure, you see, because dressing a stone means cutting the edges to fit also. Cutting the edges to fit may be something else. That may be the final act of the stone, which might be mark of a patish and so on. We're going to have to think about that. Ve'hamakeh be'patish. And we're going to see whether this is supposed to be two separate cases. Hamakeh be'patish as a separate case from the mesatetz, but certainly it's a different milacha. And by the way, there's an interesting machlokas Rashi v'Tosfos as to what the classic example is in makeh be'patish. Tosfos says the classic Makeba Patish was at the conclusion of any construction of a kli. You'd always have to give it that last smoothing piece to make sure that it's in shape. And that's Makeba Patish. Rashi learned, from which we get the idea that every completion of a process is always Makeba Patish. So it's, let's say, putting shoelaces into a brand new shoe that has never been laced. It would be the last completion of the shoe. It doesn't look anything like Makeba Patish, but that would be a Makeba Patish. So Rashi says, no, Makeba Patish means Makeba Patish in the direction of Bonet. So let's say what you would do if you were quarrying stone. You would make a little cut, not very deep, and then you would insert this big chisel-like affair, give it a bang, and then it would break off of the mountainside along the lines that you had cut. So that bang is the Makeba Patish. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos doesn't like that as being a Makeba Patish, because what is that? Where was the Mishkan built of stone? The Mishkan is our classic Malacha. Why would Rashi take the case it wasn't in the Mishkan? Was he thinking of the Beit HaMikdash, perhaps? That's not really like that Elah HaDevarim. Oh, really? So Makeba Patish is in Bnei Gazdei Trufim. So if you're Makeba with a Patish, or you can use the same idea with a Matzad, which is an equivalent thing for working with metal, a heavy hammer. Hakodeach kol shehu chayav, and somebody would even drill a hole. Drilling a hole is part of binyan, isn't it? So any element of the binyan would be chayav. Zaklal. Kol ha'oseh melacha u'melachto mitkayemet. Anybody who does malacha, a type of malacha that has now a standing usefulness, b'shabbat, and he does this act on Shabbat. That's how Rashi and many Mishonim learn. There is another pshat, which is basically the gross pshat in the Mishnah. Even it's only mitkayem for Shabbat. And indeed, after Shabbat, you intend to do something else with it. But right now, it's mitkayemet as is, it would be chayam. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel on there. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel adds a fascinating thing, which is, even if you weren't working on a thing, and what you did was, you're makeh b'kurnus ala sadan b'sha'at milaka. You are a smith, and you've got yourself a sledgehammer and an anvil. And between banging on the horseshoe, you bang directly on the anvil. Nothing's on it. You're still chayev. Mipeshu kimintakein milaka. Because in doing that, you are basically, even though you're not doing anything on a chayev, you're still doing part of the malacha that is necessary for working on the chayev. So Gemara is going to explain later on that that's because you need to constantly keep the anvil and the hammer in shape so that there's no from the previous work, there's no maybe a little area that may be slightly raised because it got notched or something like that. And then when you're doing delicate work on a kli, the notch is going to come out in the middle. So what you do is you constantly, every couple of bangs, you'll bang the hammer directly on the anvil to make sure that it's not going to do any damage to the kli that you're working on. So that becomes now part of the etzem malacha on the kli, which is a tremendous finish. You could be chayav on a malacha where you're not even dealing with the object in which the malacha is being done. This is Ripshimming on wheels of feet. We don't pass it. Says the Gemara, but when you say kosher, what does that mean, kosher? I mean, we have a klal in all of the malachot that it has to be significant. I mean, that's part of the malachot Makshem. What could possibly be significant about a binyan kosher? Lamai Chazi, what's it good for? Omer Birmi, well, let me consider a case where a poor man might dig a small hole in the ground of maybe a half a centimeter in depth in order to hide his few pennies before Shabbat. So that's his safe. Best safe you can afford. Okay, so there you have a kol shul. You took your finger, you made a little hole in the ground, stuck in your pennies, put it on top. So why isn't that significant? Of course, making a hole is bonus. There you go, you spilled the safe. Very tiny safe, but it still does something. And where's the case in the Mishkan? That's similar to that. I mean, the case in the Mishkan would be, let's say, Shekein tofrei yiriyot, tofrim gumalat sniyah b'machateyim. You know, you've got a needle, you're working on the yiriyot, you want to put it away, you know, that girl has been eyeing this needle all day. Be darned if she's going to get her hands on it. So you make a little hole in the sand, put your needle in, and then you cover it up. So there you go. Abaya says, did you ever try putting a needle underground? Even the mishtafki, lo abdihafi. It's bound to cause damage to the needle. Things starts getting, it's a desert, but nonetheless, Rashi still gets chalud, rust on it. El shekein ani, okay, fine. Let's think of another case. You know, here's the case. Poor guy, and he's got himself this little, simple camping stove, and one of the legs breaks off. So, I mean, you got to support it. It has to be even. Otherwise, it's going to spill the water that he's cooking up. So he makes a little pitute kira katana in order that there should be room lishvot al ha'kedera. There you go. And in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, you got the same thing. Because let's say you're a dyer, okay? And you ended up with missing a half an ounce of the dye for the urea. You just didn't figure it correctly. Now you got to make another half an ounce of dye. So what do? You got to do the same thing. See, he also makes himself a little yorek tana, and then he makes a pitut for the kira for his yorek tana. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, cut it out. We don't do that in the Mishkan. That's the pshat. It was dye bahoter. You always make a little bit extra because you don't want to be doing this type of, oh, gee, let's do another couple of ounces. The whole thing is supposed to be done with a sense of breadth and accomplishment. And so you do it right the first time. So that couldn't be what happened in the Mishkan. All right. Well, how about a bala bayit? Sheyesh lo nekev bevirato. Okay. A guy's got a picture that he pulls out of the wall. So now he's got a hole in the wall. He doesn't like the hole in the wall. So he takes a little spachtel and he closes up the hole in the wall with the spachtel. So you'll say, where is there an equivalent case in the Mishkan? How about if a woodworm attacks one of the krashim? So you drop a little bit of lead in it to seal the krash. Now this is fascinating, and it's actually brought to halacha, because this is exactly the excuse that was used for plugging up the tefillin. Good. I needed to hear that. I haven't had that for so long. My man's nowhere near as good at this kind of thing. You know, I mean, here you can actually hear the hard drive being accessed. whirr. It's somewhere back there. So the idea over here that you could put, I mean, it certainly strikes as being strange, because we said before it has to be tamim. Now, it's true, it was machlokas, whether tamim means that it was tamim coming up to a triangle on top of Hatzba, or whether it meant tamim, that they have to be not plywood, whole. But, I mean, the moral here seems to accept this putting anybody. Why isn't this just as much a pagam in tamim as using plywood? It would appear that on a small area, we would just say that it's bottle to the overall keresh. But from that, one could come to the conclusion that if you've got a little place in the tefillin that you need to smooth out, this is what they used to do. They went ahead and impossible all the tefillin. But this was one of the rayot that was brought that's perfectly okay. It's no different. I mean, the tefillin, we pointed out many times, essentially the mishkan you wear on your head for tefillin. So if it's good enough for a keresh, why isn't it good enough for the tefillin? Just the tefillin is supposed to be made out of leather. That's true, but the keresh is supposed to be made out of wood, not lead. Nonetheless, there's a bottle to it. Very interesting. The Gemara just takes for granted that that would be okay. She can keresh and a flabo darna. Don't forget, you'll always remember what a darna is, Richie?
Yep.
From your experience, of eating in a darna restaurant. Full of worms. So, matif v'tocha eber, v'sot mo. You seal it up. Omar Shmuel. Hamitzadeid et ha'even chayav. This is an interesting idea. This is a guy who's building, what do they call those, the real walls where you don't use any type of mellet, no cement.
Drywall.
Whatever, but that. No, the older, real old timers, they used to take pride in being able to select stones and set them down in such a way that you don't have to do anything. In 100 years, they'll never budge because you fitted everything in so perfectly.
It's pretty nice.
No. But anyway, this was like a whole special profession, which is Kimat Nat Shire. I once met a cardiologist up in the mountains in Pennsylvania. And I know he's a cardiologist. I see this guy making this wall. It's amazing to watch. It made this entire thing. Each thing was absolutely perfect. So I commented to him, I didn't know they could still do this. He says they can't. I was a cardiologist. And I figured, what do I need to get a heart attack for? I'll move up here and build walls. And that's what he's doing. So, says Shmuel, that type of construction, you'll take a stone, you'll fit it into the ground, so that it's never going to move. That's construction. That's binyan. So what did I do? All I did was take a stone and set it down. But the fact that you needed to set it down in such a way that it fits precisely and so on, that's considered to be itself an act of binyan. Asks the Gemara, well, wait a minute. So then why does it say, Echad notena ta eben, vechad notena ta tit? Anotena ta tit chayav. If one guy brings the stone, but the other guy puts in the cement and seals it up, it's the guy who seals it up who's chayav, and not the guy who put in the stone. So apparently, the guy who puts in stone without using the cement has not done a proper act of binyan. So according to Shmuel, why not? I thought he said mitzadeh that I haven't. Says Shmuel, they am nu, v'latayne, v'im a sefer. Rabbi Yossi Amar, afilo he'alavi, niyaf agabi dunu shalavonim chayev. Why don't you ask even the other way around? That if, it says over here that if somebody goes and puts a rock on top of a wall of stone, even if he wasn't miyashva, he sets it down on top, he's already chayev. So you should ask him that in the opposite direction. Here we go, we're running around in circles. I'm telling you, you have to be mitzadeh the stone correctly. You ask me for the case. No, you have to put it in concrete. So I'll ask you, why didn't you ask me for the other part? Well, not only do you not have to put it into concrete, you don't even have to set it down properly, just stick it down. Obviously, you're missing the point over here. The point is that there's three different types of construction. And those different types of construction are actually expressed in the very same wall. You could have a case where you have the tata, the bottom line, the mitziah, as many lines as there are in the middle of stones, and then you have the upper layer, the ilah. Tata, which everything is going to be standing, it's right up against the ground, you need to do it, like I said, it needs to be fitted in there perfectly to sit. It ain't going to help you to put in cement anyway there. Either it's good on the ground or it's not good on the ground. And that is the way in which you have it permanent. That's tzedudi and just the outside of the ground itself. The mitziah, all the middle layers, you're right, they need cement. The norm is to build with cement. So boi namitina. The eloi, to add something on top, I mean, you don't care. Basically, all you're doing, you want to put down a decorative layer of rocks or bottles, whatever you want. They don't even have to be put in strongly. There's nothing on top of them. There's nothing that's bothering you about their needing necessarily to be there under any kind of pressure. Just setting them down is part of the way in which you complete the wall. So, Eloi b'hanachavi alman. The hamisatek. The next case is your misatek. What is the chiyah? Rav says, well, the chiyah misatek is actually bonet. Shmuel says, no, the point of the misatek is that you're prettying up the stone, and that's the makah the patish. That's the last thing that you're doing. You're not, I mean, the guy who is doing the bonet, right, he's cutting the edges and so on, but you still got to pretty up the stone. So prettying up the stone, that's makah the patish. There is a big question as to whether Rav, the machlokas over here, is that you're also chayav b'shem makah the patish, or only b'shem makah the patish. And this is not, there are achronim, including the Chazon Ish, who established
who established
the Chazon Ish established that wherever you're chayav mishum boneh, you're bedavka not chayav mishum makev apatish. Because makev apatish is specifically that which is the conclusion of an act of binyan that was what it was, and this is what is necessary, whether it's for purification or to make the last piece usable, whatever it is. If it's still part of binyan, it's not makev apatish.
So
many who argues on. No. Absolutely not.
So how do you understand that one stone that was placed just perfectly? Well, that's just the beginning of the bullet.
No, that's not the case where you're chayim makev. We moved on. We're up to misatek now. No, we're going on the misatek. We finished with that piece. So misatek, question is it bona or makev apat? How is the neck of balul shel tarnagolim? You make a hole and a chicken coop. So, I mean, it's got some value. Let's air it in, you know. So Rav says, okay, so that's a binyan. Shmuel, we're going to go through these cases. Shmuel Omar, Shemakev Apat. Ayah Shufta Bekupina Damar. How about sticking a wooden pole into a hole, or broom, whatever. You know, you put it in there tight, so now you can use it. There too. Rav Omar Mishum Boneh, Shmuel Omar Mishumakev Apat. Now, Tosfos points out that even though we have established earlier that Ein Binyan Bekelim, that's dafka, we discussed this before by the story of the Mita Shel Tarsiyim, or the case of the Menorah Shel Prakim. How does that work in with the dinim of binyan v'kelim? Tosfos' chiddush is that the only time we say ein binyan v'kelim is where you're putting something back together again that is meant to be formed in that fashion. So then ein binyan v'kelim, because this is the way that the kli works. But where you're actually making the kli, such as this case of Kupita Damara, there we don't have a kelim binyan, because nothing different between kelim or anything else if you're actually forming something. The formation of the thing is itself an act of binyan.
So this isn't the handle that's coming in
another time.
That's
right. You're making it. That's right. Now, we need these three cases. We have three separate cases over here. We have the case of the printing up the stone, making the hole in the chicken coop, and sticking a handle into a hole. These are not just all examples of the same idea. Each one of them is a chidush in terms of either Rav or Shmuel. Because let's take a look. Yeah, Shmuel got Maida, but we had that first case, which is Misatetet Avin. So then I would have said, you know what? Why did Rav say that's called Binyan? Because that is the Derech HaBinyan. I mean, if you're going to make a list of all of the expenses that you're going to have building your home, the Misatetet Avin is going to be part of those expenses. You don't view that's not the furniture, that's not the painter, that's the builder. So that's their opinion. Obviously, that's opinion, says Rob. That's not an additional ending piece. Maybe that's only in that case. But, I mean, certainly, to go ahead and Otsa Nekev, but Lulz of Tanagolim, they ain't their opinion, but we're just drilling a hole through something and leaving it there. That's not opinion, is it? So maybe that is not considered to be a fundamental opinion. Maybe he's Marat Shmuel. You want to get a little extra air in there. So, okay, let's make that Makib Apatish. You're doing something to help the Tanagolim. So maybe it would motivate Shmuel. On the other hand, if I would have known that case, I would have said, Rav may extend the idea of Binyan to making holes in chicken coops, because after all, we would expect to include the aeration of the coop as part of the building of a coop. And therefore that's also considered to be Binyan. Tosfos says, I mean, that seems to be pretty reasonable. Why would Shmuel actually argue on that? And he points out, that as we'll see later, we have a klal that in order for something to be a binyan opening, it has to serve for entry and egress. It can't be just one direction, which of course is very important when it comes to opening tuna cans and Shabbat, those kind of questions. But does it have room for coming in and coming out? Even, let's say, opening, puncturing a can, making a little hole on one end for air to come in, and then on the other end for something to go out. You don't have a single hole for in and out. You know, so that becomes now a heter. Maybe that's as close as why Shmuel disagrees. Because over here, you just want to let the air in. All right, but anyway, so in that case, I understand why Rav says it's binyan, because it's similar to things that you would do for binyan. You want to put it in an air conditioning vent. I understand that that's binyan. But shuv the makubid in demara? Builders don't do that. That's not part of building. They ain't there binyan bekach, ain't nobody like the Shmuel. And on the other hand, the Ashrina Baba would have had all the, even the last case, I would have said, okay, obviously Shmuel holds that putting a handle into a hole. That's classic Makib HaPatish, man. It's not binyan. I mean, you got the pieces, and now you want to do that last piece, which is putting them together. Even though, I mean, one piece is manufactured by one guy, the metal worker, he finished his work. The pole comes from the other company, he's finished his work. So what I'm doing is basically completing a kli that I want to use. That for sure, Shmuel says. Very, very reasonable. Say that's a Makib HaPatish. But I mean, start talking about Misatet Et Aven? I mean, that's mamish part of binyan, maybe even Motid Rav. So therefore, I need to know that. Therefore, I need both of these cases. All right, I thought we could do a little bit, go up a little bit ahead because of our Tisha B'Av problems, and I see Tisha B'Av has begun early.
No,
yeah. Coup base. הזורק ונזכר מאחר שיצתם ידו, קלטה אחר קלטה כלב, או שנשרפה פטור. זורק לעשות חבורה בין באדם בין דיבי מה, ונזכר שלא נעשית חבורה פטור. זה הכל. כל חייביך הטעות אינם חייבים עד שתהי תחילתן וסופן שגגה. בת, תחילתן שגגה וסופן זדון. תחילתן זדון וסופן שגגה, פטורים עד שתהי תחילתן וסופן שגגה. Now, you're saying in the Mishnah, Hanacha you would be chayim without a dog, you follow Nizkar. Vitzlan kol chayaveich hatot inan chayim ad shleit vatan sofan shkagan. Amr of Kana, no, no, no. Seifa atan alakta umatna. Alakta umatna, so you wouldn't be chayim if there was no interruption. Ogdo biyado. Kegon shenit kavim lasot chabura. But in the case in the chabura is tanina. Hazorek lasot chabura. Bein madam, nein bein madam. Nizkar shlo nasi chabura patur. Elo amarava, the case in the end is talking about a mavir. So Zakal is going back on Zerika. Okay. Two different cases. Target plan, Zorek. And either Niska Miyakashiyat Stamiyada or Loniska, but Kolta Akro, Kolta Kela, Loshimisfa, Patur. Ravashi Amar, you don't have to say it's two cases. You have to say Nisod by saying it's Chutzur Makasar. Logic time. Azorek Niska Miyakashiyat Stamiyada. Then only if Kolta Akro, Kolta Kela, Loshimisfa would be put. But Hanaka would be higher. Bamed Varim Amurim. So that you would be shoving between the besof. Avaloch hazar b'shachach, and even if the dog hadn't come, you would be potter. Shekol chayavei chatot, and chayavei machet chilatan besofan shkagam. Zakwa, kol chayavei chatot idma. Let's see, it's shtei amot b'shogeg, shtei amot b'mezid, and then shtei amot b'shogeg. Rav omer patur, rav omer chayav. Rav omer patur, afil, rav yamil, 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 yam Avalok, but the Bemezi Vod. What case are you talking about? It was a Zorek, and he is a Shogeg. There's nothing he could have done about it. Now, I'm talking about Mavir. So that part was amazing. If he would have stopped, he would have been here. Rabbi Amar Chayav, not too long on the Amri Yeshidi Elachatzishir. That's Dapka, where the idea makes a difference. Hatam would be Yadoi, he could have stopped it. But Halkadein be Yadoi. So what case are you talking about? Now, certainly not a Mavir, right? Because it was Mavir. Arabi Yadoi. No, no, I'm talking about Zorek. Oh, my Rabbi. Zorek v'nocha b'fichel evo b'fiyakifshan Chayav. I'm talking about where this is what he wants. Wanting something to land in a particular place is makshavi. This is yesh okel achilakat v'chayav aleha arba kataot v'yashamakat. So he can be okel achilakat, he's chayav because of tome shokal chelev, which is no sir. Minamukdashim, which is not only Tomei Shalcha, Mukdashim is Mi'ila, on Yom Kippur. But Meir Omer, why not throw in Shabbos and Hutzah? On Mulo, Eino Minashim. What about Yom Kippur anyway? Isn't there another thing because of Yom Kippur? So Rashi says no fear feature because of carrying on Yom Kippur. When you go to Meir, right? One of the cases is Yom Kippur. How about that's for the eating on Yom Kippur? But how about for the carrying on Yom Kippur where Rabbi Meir says, let's add Shabbos? Really, let's add Shabbos. We already have Yom Kippur. Right? So Rashi says, I mean, the Mice of the Gemara discusses this. Rashi brings only one approach to Gemara, which is not what we end up with, which is that in this Mandyama holds there's no Isser Koros, no Chiyuv Koros on Hotzah on Yom Kippur. So that's one thing that differentiates Yom Kippur from Shabbos. Lemaisa, the Gemara ends up saying, also Shabbos. We understand that. Yom Kippur is fine, I can add two additional Chiyuv. Shabbos for Hotzah on Yom Kippur, which I'm also. Look at it like that too. Fine. Yes, also okay. The chayav la'aruch. I'm not going to be Yom Kippur. But if Meir Omer, Afi Ma'itah Shabbat, let's hear the piyuv chayav. Omer lo, that's not part of this. Eino min Hashem. Now, but why would you be chayav bechal for Otzav? Am I in derech Otzav? The cock to land in your stomach. Ela kima de kama kavein machshavto mashvele makom. Okay, I'm giving you a kavein machshavto mashvele makom. Abone, come here, Nevi Chayav. Abone koshu, and this a faith. Mama kiyuv chayav, shu b'matzad. Akodeyav koshu, all them are chayav. Zeklav. And he does this on Shabbos, it's chayav. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, even though there's nothing on it, b'sha'at melacha, though it's not done for the object, chayav. But they should kimetakim melacha. What do you mean bone kosher? What are you going to do with it? Reb Yirmiyashkin ani kofer guma latsniya b'prudotav. And in the Mishkan we had a similar fish. Kim tofer yiriot kofer guma latsniya makatayim. Abayi Omer, nobody would ever do that. Given the Mishnah kilo after. Nobody would allow it to be there. It could be also a lesson of that. Mishtakchi, which is you'll forget where you put it, you'll never find it. That's not what it says. Ela shekein ani yosef piput kira kitana v'shvot ala kidera kitana. And in the Mishkan, we had Navashli Samani would do the same thing, with Svar Yiriot, where it was a little bit missing, osin piput kira kitana v'shvot ala yora kitana. Navachah b'yakov says, never happened. In an yut v'makom ha-shirut. Ela shekein ba'alabayit sheshu ha-meked v'birato v'sotimo. We have in the Mishkan, Keresh. Which is what I was talking about. Which is what the Mishnah was talking about. Eloi, that's the safer. Because at least the hole is there for air conditioning. It's not even there. Maybe over there for sure it would be more delayed with Shmuel. On the other hand, if I knew this last case, it would have said, maybe that's the only case that Shmuel is saying. Maybe he would be willing to say it's a bishum b'ayna. Therefore, it's Icha. Now, if one of them would just...